All right, so we're on, is it verse 13?
Yes.
Take fast hold of instruction. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Isn't that what I was just talking about?
Yep.
The newer believer might not grasp the importance of it. They might not see this as life. They might not realize, wow, like when you're a brand new believer and you read Ephesians 6 about the armor, you go, oh yeah, armor. Okay. And then after you walk for a while and you go through spiritual battles and you get persecuted and you go out and you witness and you go, whoa, this is real. I need this. And you start to take it serious, to walk in it, use it, equip yourself to know scripture, to live it, to not be a hypocrite, to know it, to know how to rightly apply it. And I think that's what that's talking about. That kind of sums up what I was saying before. She is thy life. There's the she again.
Yeah, I keep waiting for you to come around and tell us what you're talking about with that.
She is life. Christ and his truth is not a hobby. It's not a Sunday church for an hour and a half. It's not a membership role. It's not a religion. What religion are you? What denomination are you? Christ is life. He is the way. He is the truth. He's the life. And he is the light too.
Do you remember that guy when we said we met him at that last pirate event, and he said we weren't part of a denomination, and he said that if we're not, he can't hear us because we're not part of a denomination. That's the way he was raised. That would mean everything he's ever believed is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so you know what he's defending? He's not defending the word and the truth. He's defending, you know, man-made traditions.
Yeah. Like you just said, Christ is life. It's not a denomination or a hobby.
Yeah. And look at 14. Admonition, warning. Enter not the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. And I want to key on that word, wicked. Russia. Everybody thinks that wicked is like Adolf Hitler was wicked. Saddam Hussein or whoever that guy, I forget his name now. The guy that was the mastermind behind...
Osama bin Laden.
He's wicked. I'm just a sinner. I'm not that bad. I've never really murdered a bunch of people. Look what the word wicked means. Criminal, guilty one, crime, sin. If you sin, you're wicked. You know, everybody has like, and you know where that comes from? It can come from multitude of places, but really the big place it comes from, Roman Catholicism. The really big, nasty sins, and then the less sin, the venial sin. Mortal, venial. And they have this. And while some sins, Jesus told us, some sins are weightier. I get it. You know, you steal a pack of gum, it's not as weighty as shooting a bunch of people and, you know, murdering people, but they're both sin. They're both going to damn you. And so, yeah, I think that word wicked comes out there. And I do want to say, Psalm 5:5, I preach it all the time in the streets. Go ahead, brother. I know that's where you're probably going.
I know.
I just wanted to bring that up because everybody, they deny this. But actually, it's Psalm 5:5 and Psalm 11:5. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to key in something in Psalm 5:5 that came out when I did a study on it. Psalm 5:5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity.
Yeah.
And people are like, I'm not a worker of iniquity. Well, have you ever looked up that word iniquity?
Yeah.
It means nothingness. Yeah. Vanity. Are you a worker of nothingness?
Yeah.
And you look at the world and what it's doing, and it's pointless, it's senseless, it's useless, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's ultimately
it's
sin.
It's football, it's nothingness, it's vanity, it's empty, it's idle.
Yeah.
Are you a worker of nothingness? Then you're a God hates you.
Yeah.
That's what it says, and man does that thing.
It's trouble, it's sorrow, it's wickedness, it's idolatry, it's sin. Yeah. And God hates workers of iniquity. Whenever we preach that, I mean, people, no, the Bible didn't say that, and they walk around and you go, I'll show it to you right here. They don't want to hear it because that unravels their easy belief. I got a good standing with God. See, they're not lowered. That's another thing. Ready? If you're lowered, if you're humble, if you're meek under God's word, that verse should terrify you and you should go, whoa, I don't want to be wicked. Lord, cleanse me, wash me in the word. I want to repent of all that. People that are high and lifted up high-minded, they go, I didn't say that. I'm not that bad. They're lifted up at a high standard rather than lowered. And one day, they're going to be chopped down and thrown in the fire if they don't repent.
Yeah, but it's that thought that hit me about being a worker of iniquity and being wicked in God's eyes is a matter of, we always talk about redeeming the time. People are asking, well, what's wrong if I go play disc golf? Or what's wrong if I go on a motorcycle ride for no reason? Are you doing something for God's kingdom? Are you doing nothing? You're wasting your time and not redeeming the time. You're a worker of iniquity, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And I wanted to key in on that word path before we got off that verse. That path means a trodden road. So just like the wise have their trodden path that they walk on, the wicked also have their trodden path that many have taken over and over and over. Nothing new under the sun. It's the same stuff they keep going back to. Don't go down those paths. Go down the path of the wise that's trodden.
Yeah. And enter not in. Enter is like don't even start.
Right.
That.
Yeah. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Let's jump back to verse 13, and we'll get to the her part, because I don't think it mentions her again in the rest of the proverb. I looked. I don't think it does. So who is her in the Old Testament? We're reading the Old Testament, but look forward to the archetype. Who's her in the New Testament? Well, there can be a who is denoted as a her. A her is like a what? A woman, feminine. So in the New Testament, we're starting through the book of Revelation. We haven't got there yet, but you have a harlot, a whore. But then what's the opposite? You have a pure bride.
Yeah.
Who's the pure bride?
The church, the body, the Zion.
1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, thou may knowest now how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ecclesia of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So that's the her that he's talking about. Truth in the Old Testament. Truth is her. In the New Testament, Christ establishes his body and says, she's the pillar of my truth. She's my spotless bride. Paul says he's looking for a spotless, blameless bride, walk worthy. The truth is the body of Christ. We uphold it. We uphold the truth.
That's interesting, because that idea of marriage comes up again, where you're one flesh.
Yep.
It's like the mystery of
yep.
God and the church.
Yep.
It's like the word of God is Jesus Christ. We're being conformed to his image, yet we're his bride. This talks about her.
Amen.
And wisdom. It's all interconnected.
Are you going to be a faithful partner?
Yeah.
And we always use that example in the street when they go, well, you're too hard, you're too this. And I go, really? So can your wife go and just flirt with other men and do other things? Well, no, she's my wife. Well, you're claiming to be the bride of Christ, and you're out here fooling around with the world for fun. And you think that's okay? No, not going
to be okay. It's also interesting. If you put the marriage twist on it, be thou faithful unto death. Don't you have to endure in your marriage until you die?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, and let me tie this together. So it's talking about she in Proverbs 4. She is the truth he's talking about. And then it talks about in 1 Timothy 3:15. I love that. It says, thyself in the house of God, which is thy ecclesia of the living God. This is important. The pillar and ground of the truth. We're not the truth. We're the pillar and the ground of the truth. So what does a pillar do?
It supports.
Ready? So take police officers. What do I always say to police officers when they walk up? When they start giving me a hassle, I go, oh, you're not the law. And they usually stand back and I go, you represent the law. Let's get to the law. Where's that permit? What law am I breaking? They're not the law. They represent the law. We're not the truth. We represent the truth. And look what it says in Revelation 3:12. We're getting close on our verse-by-verse study. But if I tarry long... No, sorry. Right here. Wrong verse. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. We can be a pillar in eternity, still holding up the truth of God.
So, a pillar needs to be steadfast and stable and steady and concrete and all these words, and that's what we need to become, steady and stable and consistent.
What happens to the pillar that's cracked, that's weak, that's faulty, that is not strong, that doesn't want to remain a pillar that's going to not do its job? That's not going to be installed. That's going to be thrown out, faulty.
Would you drive over a bridge that had a pillar that was completely faulty, weak, wavering? Nobody's going to do that.
No. Amen. So yeah, that's the her that I was talking about. The truth, we're the pillar of it, the body of Christ, we represent it. That's why when we go in the streets, the battle is for the truth. It's truth against lies and error, and that's why there's always contention. That's why people don't like what we say. That's why Jesus said, you'll be hated for my name's sake, because we are representing the truth. Even the churchianity system don't love the truth. They make up their own truth. And so we are the light and the salt. Salt preserves. He said, be light and be salt. Salt preserves. We are standing to contend for the faith, as Jude said, to preserve the truth so that people coming behind us can say, oh, it's still there. There's people that actually live it. Versus, if Satan has his way, he's going to get rid of it completely and totally pervert it in the New World Order, where everybody's just going along to get along. Oh, you don't have to hold to the truth. New Age Jesus. So we're supposed to preserve it. That's what the battle is. So it's all over truth.
Amen.
So where are we at? 15?
Yes.
Avoid it and pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. It's talking about 14, right? Enter not and go along the way of the wicked men. Avoid the way of the wicked men. Pass not by it. Well, wait. Let's see. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I think it's referring to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that verse because it brings to memory something.
Which one? 15?
Yeah. It brings to memory. I was once talking with somebody and they were defending remaining in a false religious body for the sake of trying to witness and win people within there. And even though they knew that the body was completely corrupt, and I was like, if you meet a bear in the woods, you don't stand there, you turn around and run away from it. And I use this verse about when it comes to sin, you're not supposed to go, like, don't go there, avoid it.
Yep.
Don't even pass by it. Turn away from it and pass away. Like, completely turn away from the path of the wicked and what you know is false. I just love that.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a whole bunch of verses. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Then it says, 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, or woman, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord with a pure heart. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing, right? And there was one more verse I wanted to, I think it is 1 Thess 5 is what I wanted. 1 Thess 5? Oh, wait, let's see if it comes up here. Yeah, 1 Thess 5:22. Abstain, not from evil. All appearance of evil. That means if some just like, I'm not sure about that, it appears, I'm abstaining from it. That's where I always tell people, fall on the side of God always. Fall towards holiness. Fall towards righteousness. As soon as you start going, I'm not sure about that, you're falling that way. Kind of like if you're driving your car and you go, oh, maybe there's a cop around, maybe there's not. I'm going to fall on the side of speeding. You're probably going to get a ticket someday or a lot of tickets. You always fall on the other side and go, oh, I think I'll go a little slower to get through here. Avoid all appearance of evil.
Amen. That's a good one. Do what Joseph did.
Yeah, flee.
Leave your coat.
Yeah, run.
Get out of there.
Run. And again, I got to go back to churchianity. What are they always doing? Dabbling with evil. They're always saying, well, it's okay. Is it really? You know, I think of like Halloween and they turn it into harvest festivals. And they dress in nice costumes. And it's like they turn something pagan into something that is supposed to be better rather than just fleeing from all unrighteousness and doing something really novel like preaching the gospel.
It's because they still love their flesh. And they're like, well, I can still take my flesh with me. It's not the Lord. And
they haven't bought the truth and sold it not.
Yep.
They've bought the lies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
16, already it's describing these people. Do we know anybody like this? Were we ever like this? For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I know. I used to be that way. Mischief. Check that word out. Yeah. Ready? So we got two little children sitting here. Oh, he's so mischievous today. No, watch out when you say that. Look at the Bible terms. Bad, evil, wicked. The culture has turned mischief into, well, he's just finding a little bit of mischief.
Yeah, they've denoted everything.
They've watered down the terms.
They've taken, it's almost like, how would I say this? The culture in Satan's kingdom, while it's a dumb movement, if you look at it logically, you take the beginnings of sin and what's going to lead you down into really wickedness, and you make it seem like it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's like they did in Canada where I'm from, okay? Yeah. They took a drug like marijuana and said it's not as bad as cocaine and meth, but we legalize this and say this is okay. They make a gateway into sin with all of this.
This is what Satan does. God's word says drunkenness. No drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. When Sister Anna and I were James and Debbie and we were drunks, guess what we called ourselves? Partiers. That sounds so much better. Bible doesn't say partiers won't enter the kingdom of God, or people that sleep around outside of marriage. Fornicator? No, we're living together. We're shacking up. See, Satan has a way of taking the culture and making it sound better, demeaning God's real meaning of it, and watering it down to make you feel better about it.
Like you just said, they take disorderly conduct that's a disgrace to God,
yep,
and they call it mischief.
Yep,
but
exactly.
It's sin.
It's sin. It's wickedness. Yeah. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Yeah, they're really... Oh, and by the way, Proverbs 6:17, it's an abomination to God. Those who run after that type of activity, mischief, division,
yeah,
right? Proverbs 6:17, I believe it says that. Hold on, let me read it. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination. Yep. And feet that be swift running into mischief. That's evil. That's sin. That's wickedness. Oh, I'm all in. I'm on that path. I want that. You're not avoiding it. You're running right into it.
Yeah. He also says that a naughty person, a wicked man.
Naughty.
Frowardness, that's perverseness, is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord.
Yep. Yeah, that word mischief just... It's not represented rightly in churchianity, and that's why we need God's word to always define what is. Look at the word modest. They've plugged the word modest in there. Oh, as long as you dress modest. What does that mean? What does that mean? When I was a kid, that's totally different. Today, it's totally different. What's it going to mean in 100 years? And God gives us the terms that we need. People totally. Satan and the culture and people water it down. We live by every word. We got to hold fast to that.
You know who this also causes me to think of? They sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. In a spiritual sense, I guess I'm thinking about the like the JWs and the Mormons who are out there zealously working to cause people to stumble at the truth and to get led into their false antichrist cults.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. I don't know why. When I read this verse, I think of Sodom. I think it's Ezekiel. It talks about everybody thinks Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed just for sexual sin, perversion, sodomy. That was there, but it also said they were full of bread and idleness and pride. And that's what I think of when I read this, violence. I want to look at that word violence. Yeah.
That's another one. Psalm 11:5 fits perfectly in that verse as well.
Yeah,
I'll just throw
yeah, because the word violence. Talk about that. What everybody thinks that means: punch somebody in the face that doesn't deserve it. But there's more than that.
Oh yeah.
What is it, brother?
I mean, violence could be anything from harsh language to even like a look can be violent. Like it's just like that demeanor of causing harm towards others or. I guess.
Yeah.
Injustice towards others. Yeah.
Yep. That's here you go. Ready? Ready? You want to be violent against God? Churchianity is violent against God. How?
They twist his word. They corrupt it.
Right? But be more specific. What do they tell people? Oh, you don't got to stop sinning. He's going to let you in. Jesus did it all. And God's going, that's not what my word says. That's injustice. You're lying. You're being violent against me. That's why God destroyed the earth under Noah, because they were violent. There was injustice. They were mean against each other. They were, all right? It talks about the Bible, the weighted scale. Hey, you want to buy a pound of rice? Put my thumb on the scale and I sell you half a pound. That's violent against God. God wants justice. Yeah,
God hates an unjust wage.
Yeah. So people get, they think, I know we always say the NFL is violent, and it is. It's cruelty. It's a physical violence, but it's also an injustice of many things that are going on, because they're perverting the doctrines of God. What are they doing? They're perverting God's word. Take the NFL. The NFL lifts up LGBT and abortion. They're violent against God. I don't care if they never tackle another guy. They're violent against God because they're saying you can be a sodomite, LGBT, gay, transvestite, and you can kill babies, and you're still okay before God because Jesus loves you. They're violent against God. Many, 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 many groups do that.
Did you read Psalm 11:5?
No, I didn't. Psalm 11:5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. So they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence.
Yeah.
And I just read about, I'm actually studying through all the prophecies that the Lord fulfilled in the Old Testament. It's really edifying. But the Lord is like the bread from heaven. I read that in John the other day. And
reading the Bible is you guys are really enjoying that, aren't you? Reading it on audio.
Oh yeah, you read through it.
Because this is good. You do it and you take it apart, but also you read the big picture too. It helps you.
Oh yeah.
Well, speaking of, you mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah, and something that jumped out at me. Again, you know
that America is Sodom too.
Oh, definitely. Actually, the entire Western
and
world,
Canada,
the entire Western society,
and the whole world, really. Yeah.
Yeah, Western society in general is Sodom, but it's this one thing that jumps out, and I guess you don't think of it as much. Okay, so Lot came into, found those two angels. He took them into his house. The men of Sodom came there. They wanted to do their wickedness. The angels struck them with blindness.
Yeah,
and
I know
it
where
says,
you're going.
And it's this, they wearied themselves to find the door. Even under God's judgment and blindness, they were not let up, and they weary themselves in their sin. And you see that in the culture. It's like, God's word is so clear. It's Romans 1 comes to mind. They see the judgment of God. They see his creation. They're without excuse, and they weary themselves in their sin.
Yeah, they're enemies of God. And that's going to happen in the end of the book of Revelation, end of times, when they're so wicked and they see what's coming to pass and they see Christ is coming, and instead of repenting and having a chance at salvation, they're looking for rocks to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Just bury me under rocks. I don't want to face. That's pride. Just crush me before rocks and kill me. I don't want to have to face him. I don't have to face him.
Yeah,
just crush me behind rocks.
I find that incredible in Revelation. All of this stuff is taking place. All of this stuff. They still don't repent. They still don't repent.
And they blaspheme God.
They blaspheme it.
Look at the Pharisees. They saw the miracles right in front of them. They saw what he was doing. The guy's that withered hand, everybody knew it. The guy in the mat, he's been there for decades, laying there. Jesus is healing these people, and they're like, oh, we got to get rid of this guy. He's stealing our show. Wicked, hard hearts.
But it's
notice, go ahead.
And like the eating the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence denotes that Romans, that last part about that, what you were talking about, Sodom, it's they not only do those things but that are worthy of death, they have pleasure
in
do them. They actually, people enjoy drinking wine, they enjoy eating bread, it's something the flesh likes, and it's basically saying that these wicked men, it's like I was talking the other day. I was actually talking about this with you, Brother Cool. There's no such thing as a small part of your flesh that's okay. If you let the flesh have its way, it'll go from a bounce house to hell.
A little leaven.
It's just, the flesh never has enough.
Yeah, a little leaven, yeah. And notice, this ties in what we were talking about before. They eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. So wicked people eat the bread of wickedness, and that sustains them and feeds their wicked, sinful, violent, God-hating life. What do saints do? We eat of Christ, the bread and the wine, as a symbol of his body, and we live by every word out of the mouth of God, and that sustains us. And that's that young believer to a more experienced believer. That young believer is learning what to feast on, what to eat on, what to sustain me, how can I live, how can I get stronger. It's that eating and that feasting on that word, the living bread, that makes you stronger. Whereas the wicked people do it for wickedness. It kind of ties right in there. 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So, yeah, Jesus told us he is the light. He told us to be the light. Who lights a candle puts it under a basket, right? We don't do that. We shine. Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men to glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah, and I love that. It shineth more and more. See, we don't stop growing. We don't stop walking. We don't get to a place and say we've attained there. If we keep walking in it, the closer you get to the light, the more darkness is revealed and purged, the more you walk in the light, and it shines more and more and more and more, and you keep getting purified.
Amen. Amen. And so a light has to be maintained, renewed, right? So you got to make sure that you're feeding, like we always talk about, if God's given you light or a fire, you got to keep feeding it. And so that's something that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, fellowship, accountability, growth, maturity, discernment, your light keeps getting brighter. And it's harder to put out a light the brighter it gets. When it's really low, it's easy to go out. So if you don't recharge yourself in the Word, go out and restore, have fellowship, Bible study, you'll burn out. You don't want to burn out. It's a marathon we're in, so you want to make sure. All of us have flashlights we use. What do you do with your flashlight? You keep it charged up. I think of the 10 virgins. What happened? 5 showed up. They were not ready.
Nope.
They were not prepared. They thought, we'll just show up and get whatever we'll be picked. It's like, no, they had to wait. They had to wait. They didn't expect to wait upon the Lord, and they weren't prepared to wait upon the Lord. So, yeah, we're a light. We got to make sure that we keep stoking our light.
That parable is a good example of they were virgins, which means they weren't out sleeping with other men, and they were waiting for the bridegroom, but they didn't have that oil.
Yeah. What did they lack?
Yeah.
What one thing did they lack?
It's like, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I'm not out.
Carte blanche, I'm covered,
sin.
Yeah.
I'm not out living the sin. Yeah, but you're lacking this oil. You're lacking these works. You're lacking this zeal. You're lacking this. You got to have that or it'll keep you out.
And what that shows when you hear people like that, what that shows is 99% of the time you're dealing with a false convert that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, doesn't have the beckoning, the conviction, the desire, and the love for the truth. And that's what you're dealing with. People that just slough off the truth, they have not the truth in them. They don't have the Spirit of truth in them. It just... The Spirit of truth is in you. You love the truth. If it's not in you, you discount the truth. You've sold it out, and you no longer value it and lift it up. You're not a pillar. You're not a pillar. If you're not a pillar of the truth, how can you be in the body of Christ?
Amen.
Yep. You can't be. 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. There's the opposite from the light. They know not at what they stumble. Yeah, you walk in darkness, try running through the woods in darkness. It ain't going to end well.
Yeah, that makes me think of John 12. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth.
Yeah.
So it's that warning that if you're not walking in the light, darkness will come upon you.
Yeah. So what are we? Are we children of the light or children of the night?
Light.
Yeah, we walk in the light. We don't walk in darkness. We don't walk in lies or sin or errors. Nothing good is going to come out of the darkness if we dabble in it. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Look at that, a verb. Attend to it. What does that word attend mean? To be prothumia or akouo, to hear, be attentive. Heed, Brother Zelos did a reading about all the places, right? Not too long ago, where it says heed, take heed.
Yeah.
Incline, hearken. Ooh, this is one. Pay attention. You witness to somebody, and you can tell if they're paying attention. You can almost feel like the Holy Spirit pricking their conscience, or they're going, looking around. It's a good indicator where they are.
Yep.
Yeah, attend. And I guess go back to the marriage situation. A man should attend to his wife. A wife should attend to her husband. Parents should attend to their children and give them the instruction and everything they need. So think of that attending. People in the body should attend to each other so that nothing goes lack or lacks. Incline thine ear to my sayings. That reminds me of Jesus saying, keep my sayings. I like that, keep my sayings. So simple. Let's keep my sayings. Can you do that? It's not easy, but it is simple. Yeah. It's like a police officer pulling you over and going, just obey the law. And you go, well, that's harder than, you know, I don't know what speed limit is where. And yeah, I know. Just keep the law. Like the police at the last preach telling me, make sure you're legal. I'm like, I'm trying. Where can I stand and preach? Here, there. Do you notice that? They told us right here. And I said, oh, right there, but then right here is good. No, no, a little bit over there. It's like, where's the chalk line here where we have First Amendment free speech? So, yeah, make sure we attend to those things and make sure that we're keeping his sayings. I love that.
Amen.
21. Ready? More verbs. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What does that mean, brothers?
Don't lose focus.
That's a good one.
Let thine eye be single, and thy whole body will be full of light.
That's a good one. How about Jude 21? Ready? Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's a great verse to use on church unity. People, once saved, always saved. Keep yourself in the love of God. Oh, you mean the Holy Spirit doesn't do it like a magnet? You can't leave. I want to get away from God. No, you can't. You're drawn. It says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what I think of when I think of that verse in Proverbs 4.
Yeah, it's like the Jews used to have these frontlets that they'd bind.
Yep.
To keep it. And now it's the Spirit that brings these things to our memory. But we have to, like, ponder, meditate,
yep,
think on these things, bring them to remembrance. Peter talks about stirring up your pure minds by way,
yep,
of remembrance.
He doesn't force us. The Holy Spirit doesn't force us. He doesn't do it for us. He's a helper.
Yeah, we have to, like, continuously stir up our, like Peter says, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Think, ponder, pray, read, study, do all these things to keep them right in your focus.
Go back to the husband and wife. A wife is a...
help me.
She doesn't do everything for you. You still have to act. You still have to function. The Holy Spirit doesn't do all this stuff for us. He's a helper. Some people say he's a gentleman. It's not really in the Bible, but it's true. He doesn't force you. He doesn't command you. He doesn't make you. Well, there are commands, but he doesn't force you to do them. Right?
Yeah.
You have an option. What verse are we on? 22?
Yes.
For they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. That's interesting. Health to all their flesh. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example of some worldly studies that actually, sometimes worldly studies actually back up God's word. Ready? So did you ever hear about this study that they took rats and they threw them in water to see how long they would swim before they drowned? And they found out that these rats, don't quote me on how this all was, but anyway, some rats would swim for 5 minutes in a circle, and they drowned. And then they did an experiment, and they put the rat in for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and as soon as the rat started struggling, they scooped him out, held him out for a minute, and put him back in. And guess what happened? Guess how long he survived then? Hours. They said that the rat was somehow, is what their study says, the rat was programmed to know that there was help coming or possibly he could make it. And so their summation, whether or not you want to believe this, was that the rat was given hope. Now that's like a worldly example. But they've also done health studies on stress and all that type of thing. And they say people that have a life full of purpose, test this, people that have a life full of purpose actually have, they've done longevity studies. People that have a life full of purpose live longer. Isn't that what the Bible just talked about?
Oh, yeah.
The Bible just talked about those who wait upon these things. Your life will be, you'll live many years. And what does this say? For they have life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. Here's my point. God did not, forget that worldly, those worldly studies. God did not intend us to just be on this earth and not have a purpose.
No, even man.
God intended us to know our purpose is to glorify him, to strive for it, and in that we'll find life and health, was my point.
Yeah, and even before the fall of man, he put man in the garden to dress and keep it.
To
man,
work.
Man was not made to just sit and twiddle his,
nope,
thumbs and do nothing.
Nope. So I believe some of that worldly research does back up what God's word says, and that is you have purpose, you have meaning to glorify me, and that adds to your life and your health.
Well, read the next verse.
You read it.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah. Keep your heart with all diligence. The issues of life. What does that mean?
Well, you just mentioned stress, but basically, yep. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you don't guard it, keep it, get it behind the authority of God's word, man, are you going to have issues.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Amen.
And the heart is deceitful. So the heart will tell you something.
Yeah, Jeremiah tells us that.
The deceitfulness of sin, where it's like the heart will lie to you and say, no, this is okay, or you can do this, and what, and you have to test everything to the word of God.
Amen.
Your heart's going to tell you lies to get you to do things, and it's...
Yeah. You got to purge all that out, and then whatever is still left in your flesh, you can't let it affect your spirit walk. You have to put it down. Put it down. Yep. Crucify it. Crucify your flesh, right?
Amen.
Yep. 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. There's that word I've been talking about a lot when I street preach, perverse, perversity, crookedness. Yeah, today the culture thinks perverts have only to do with sexual nature because we're such a perverted sexual culture, but perverse just means you've corrupted something. You perverted the function on your car. If you take all the oil out of your engine and you start it up, you just perverted the purpose of your engine and you blow it up. So perverse. Yeah. Not just sexual things. Churchianity are perverts against the sound doctrine of God because they corrupt it. Right?
Yeah.
Let thine eyes look right on. And let thy eyelids look straight before thee. That talked about being straight on that path, not looking left or right, getting distracted.
Focus.
Yeah, focus. Don't let the things of the world distract you, your flesh. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. All thy ways be established. You mean just going to church on Sunday isn't good enough? All your ways. So when we meet these people at these festivals and we go, we love you. What are you doing here today? What do you mean? And they got their food and their alcohol and their trinkets and they're dressed in their worldly garb, pride of vanity. And you go, what do you mean? And you go, what are you doing with all your ways today? How are you glorifying God today? It's a valid question, is it not? The ones that claim Christ. Oh, I'm talking about people that claim Christ.
Oh, yeah. I also like ponder the path of thy feet. You don't just run it haphazardly.
Right.
You're supposed to think about what you're doing.
Yep.
And that word ponder, it means to smooth out. So you're smoothing out the path for your feet. You're looking ahead and saying, okay, I can stumble there. Let's remove that, and now I can walk that straight line.
Yep.
That would be testing yourself, too.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen. And then the last verse, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. That's, again, that's straight ahead. Remove thy foot from evil. Flee all appearance of evil.
Yeah.
Get out.
Remove, turn not to the right hand or the left. Beware of ditches.
Yep.
Ditches are so bad, especially like I was growing up in like in a religious cult.
Yep.
That's one ditch, and I've seen so many people
jump out of that.
You jump out of one ditch, and then you overcorrect and jump completely into the other ditch of the world or another false religion. You jump out of that ditch and into another ditch, and people are always caught between ditches.
Yep.
And the truth is right in the middle that we got to walk in.
The straight path, narrow. Yeah. Narrow means straight. Luke 13, right? Enter through the straight way. It's
and that's
a narrow.
That's what makes a false religion so dangerous, because it's got
many ditches.
It's got a figment of the truth right there, and then you think, well, look at this truth. I'm in it, but you're in the ditch. You're not in all truth. You're in some truth and in a bunch of false ways and lies. And then you get out of this truth and you jump to another figment of the truth that's a little bit of truth and a bunch of false ways and lies, and get in all truth.
Amen. And that's our loving Father via the Word, the Son, the Holy Spirit, protecting us, because when we're on the straight path, we're focused straight ahead. We're not going to be stumbled. We're not going to go into the ditch. We're not going to fall away. He wants us straight, just like your precious children. You want to teach them to go the straight way and teach them not that way or that way. If you love your children, you would never want them to go astray in a place that's unsafe. You want them to go on the straight path, and that's what our Father does for us.
Yeah, that term, turning to the right hand and to the left, is used all over Scripture, and I think one thing that sums
There's that word right hand again.
Yeah, it sums it up really well. Deuteronomy 5:32, Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left.
Yep.
So it's like cutting it straight.
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, it literally means right hand, left hand. Yep.
Right.
And cutting it absolutely straight. And that's what my last thought. 2 Timothy 2. Study to show yourself approved.
Yep.
Rightly dividing. I love that. That word is ortho. It's like people that do the teeth, people that do the bones, cut the word of God straight. I love that. Anything else on Proverbs 4, brothers? We covered a lot.
Yeah, that was edifying.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Thank you, Father, for your word.